Here's art.
Wow. All right. You guys don't even know who I am. Thank you. Culture of honor, buddy. Come on. All right. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Wow. All right. So they were asking me on the way here, what are you going to talk about? And I had this thing like in the back of my head, and I'm like, something inside was like, it's not it, you know? So I just said, I really don't know. She goes, just tell him your story. And I'm like, yeah, but I really hate talking about me, you know? Here, I'm like a little bit shaken up right now because tonight, like, I mean, I travel all over the place. I've been doing this 4 years. And something happened here tonight that's never happened before. So there's something going on. And what I'm going to do in order to explain it is share my story. But what I'm feeling from the Lord is that as I share the story, there's going to be an impartation of favor. Okay? So this is less about my story and more about his story, but I'm telling his story from my perspective, you know? So I want you to see what he does and expect it for yourself, all right? So most of you probably never heard of me. How many of you in this room have heard of me? Okay, like 2, 3, 4, okay, cool. And you probably heard from them.
Yeah.
So I'm totally cool with that. Like, Shad was talking earlier about, you know, how Jesus was like, you know, they know he's Messiah and everything, but he's like flying under the radar, you know? And he's talking about achieving this victory through death, you know? And the Lord has really been working on my heart with this. You know, I grew up in church. It was, you know, I joke, it was like I was born in a pew, you know? And as a child, though, even though, like, I had awesome spirit-filled parents who loved Jesus, and even though I was going to an awesome spirit-filled church who loved Jesus, you can't protect your kids from everything, you know? And so just older boys in my neighborhood sexually abused me. And I was, like, 6 or 7 years old. Like, I don't even remember, 7 or 8, somewhere in that window. And it wasn't long before I went from being a victim to being a participant. And that led me into a 7-year addiction to pornography as soon as I was big enough to figure out where pictures were. And when I was 17, we changed churches to a new church, and for the first time in my life, I heard a message of, well, maybe it wasn't the first time I heard it, first time I listened, right. Heard a message about freedom, that you could be free from this any kind of addiction or sin or whatever. And I'm like, this is interesting, right? And it was a traveling evangelist who was visiting our church. And so he gets up and he talks about it. And he says, all right, I want you guys to come up. But here at this point, I'm a worship leader. I'm a youth leader. Nobody knows about my secret issues, right? So I'm too prideful to get up there. But when he did the altar call, everybody went. And I was too prideful to be the only guy sitting. Yeah. So I got up there. And when he came to me, he goes, you know, what's your problem? You know, what can I pray for you for? And I just mumbled like he couldn't even understand me. I'm like, I have a problem with lust. And he goes, huh? I go, I have a problem with lust. He goes, oh, is that all? All right, spirit of lust, leave in Jesus' name. Now, I blew back and landed on the ground, and it was like carpet time for a while, right? I had never experienced something like that. This was like something happened. And I woke, like, I got up from that place feeling clean and like thinking clean. And it was the first time in years. And I was like, this is crazy. Now, this is like cool victory. Yeehaw, yay Jesus. But there's actually like right after this. 6 months, I'm sharing my testimony openly with people, preaching it in my youth group. Kids are getting set free. And I'm only like 17 years old. I'm not even like, you know, I'm just one of the teens. But people are getting set free all around me. After 6 months, the enemy comes and whispers in my ear, you know, everybody's heard your testimony now. You could just go back and do the same thing. You know, you could just, you know, there's people are free. It's done. They're free. You've run out of people. They've all heard it. So now just, you know, go enjoy yourself. Right now, today, I'm like, stupid. You know, you can't trick me with that. Back then, though, I was like, logical. So how many times do we do that, you know? And when Jesus said in Matthew 12 that, you know, when an evil spirit leaves, it seeks arid dry places, comes back, finds the house swept clean and empty, brings 7 more demons worse than himself, it's exactly what happened to me. I wound up worse off than I had been before, and I was still managing to keep it a secret. 3 more years goes by. I'm now on, like, on a team who's about to plant a church, right? Yeah, worship leader, youth leader, come on. And I got all this secret stuff going on. And we, my pastor, in his wisdom, he said to his new little team, which was like 10 of us, 5 of whom were the pastor's kids, he says, we're going to go on a retreat with another church and just get ministered to. And I'm like, all right, that's cool. All right. But I'm going, in my mind, I'm going to learn how to do retreats for other people. You know, I'm good. Even though I know deep down I'm not good. So we go. One of the things they asked us to do was to write down, like, the story of your life just on one sheet of paper. Just kind of like all the highs and lows, and especially the lows. And for the first time in my life, I took an account for what had happened to me as a little boy. It was the first time. Like, it was almost like I had repressed the memory. Like, if I wanted to think of it, it was there. But I didn't think of it. I just didn't go there. And so I write this thing down, and I'm like, oh my goodness, like, this actually happened. And some of the other stuff that came out of that, and the fruit that came. At the end of this thing, I've got this all there. I'm feeling like a wretch, you know? I'm horrible. What's wrong with me? And then this guy comes up behind me, and he was kind of like a pastor-type figure to me. He wasn't my pastor, but he was like that to me. And he wraps his arms around me from behind, and he goes, the Father says he's well pleased with you. I'm crying, trying to reconcile what I believe to be true with what he believes to be true. And I learned something in that moment, that there are things that he believes to be true about me that have nothing to do with what I've experienced or what I've done or anything like that. It's all about who he is and what he's done. He's happy because he made you. You know, before Jesus, you guys know this, before Jesus worked one miracle, before he preached one sermon, the Father speaks out of heaven, I'm well pleased with you. Amen. He hadn't gone to the cross yet. He hadn't died and risen again yet. He hadn't done anything he came here to do yet. And the Father's well pleased with him. That was how I started in this. Like, something shifted at that moment. I forgave those boys for what they did. I forgave myself for going back into this stuff. Like, forgiveness, I got addicted to forgiveness. I was, like, trying to make up things that people had offended me at so that I could forgive them more. It just felt good, you know? And over the course of a few years of just getting loved to life by my church, by my pastor, by people around me, I totally transformed. My life is completely different now. In fact, that church plant, my pastor's plan was, the entire first year of the plant, we weren't going to advertise to anybody. We were just going to meet this small group of 10 of us and let the Lord change us. Formative time in my life. Now, you guys are familiar with Bill Johnson and how he talks about tension between two things in Scripture. And it's like, you know, they're not contradicting each other. They're holding each other in tension. And I realized, like, pretty much every kid has this ingrained knowledge that they are designed to be a hero. Whether it's a superhero or a mommy, which is basically a superhero, you know, like, they all are like, I am destined for something amazing. And yet the opposite tension is Jesus, who's saying, like, you know, victory through death, you know? And it's like laying down your life and flying under the radar. Like, he knows entirely who he is. He walks up to the pool of Bethesda. There's all these sick and lame people there. And he has compassion on this guy who's been laying there for years. And he's like, oh, I know this is like John 5. He's like, I'm only 5 chapters into this thing. It's not time to get crucified yet, you know? But he ministers healing to the guy. He doesn't even tell him who he is and slips away into the crowd. You know, like, I gotta do this, but he knew who he was. He couldn't do all of it. He's flying under the radar. Now, I've had people, this is just a little rabbit trail for you, but I've been teaching healing ministry all over the world now, and I have people come up to me and say, well, what about that? Because it proves God doesn't want to heal everyone, because there's all these sick people at the Pool of Bethesda, and Jesus only healed one. And I said, that's John 5. Have you ever read Acts 5? Acts chapter 5, all the believers are meeting together in Solomon's colonnade, verse 12. And then get this, if you look at the maps in the back of your Bible, you'll see Solomon's colonnade, the sheep gate, just like the other side of the sheep gate, is the Pool of Bethesda. Verse 16 of Acts chapter 5, the people brought to them all the sick and demon-possessed, and every one of them was healed. Now, It doesn't expressly say this. I suppose the area around the pool could have been emptied out during Jesus' ministry, but I gotta believe if there were any stragglers, somebody ran through the sheep gate and was like, guys, stop waiting for the angel. It's all working over there, you know? Like, Jesus does it, you know? So, okay, back on track here. The Lord got a hold of my heart. He started teaching me things about who I am. We just dedicated ourselves to Him, flying low, flying under the radar. I'm at a church plant in the middle of nowhere. We are in Fowlerville, Michigan, which is like this podunk town that they call it Fowler-tucky. You know, it's like in the middle of nowhere and there's not that many people there. And we're even in rural part. Like, we aren't even in the city proper. We're like way out in the boonies. And this is our job now, to preach the kingdom. And, you know, our vision statement was to experience, proclaim, and demonstrate the kingdom of God in our sphere of influence, and to train, equip, and send out others to do the same in theirs. All 10 of us, right? Come on. And the Lord kept me there for 4 whole years. Finally, I got engaged to my girlfriend, who we'd been dating for years, you know. Her parents didn't want her to get married until she was out of college. And then she decided to do a double major. Yay, Jesus, all right? So 5 years. And we met in her junior year of high school, and I was a senior. So it was like, we dated for 7 years, right? So 6 years into this, we get engaged because she's graduating. I'm all excited, you know. And but you know that scripture, honor your father and mother, it'll go well with you, yeah. Right? We honored her parents on that. It just so happened, by waiting like that, the very moment when we're about to get married, that same year, my parents are retiring. And so we got their house and all their furniture and all their appliances, dirt cheap, $20,000. So that's all paid off now, right? We've been married 6 years this June, you know? So favor will follow. It's like when you are purposefully saying, all right, Jesus, I'm just going to stay hidden in you. He'll exalt you. The Lord exalts the humble. Okay. And it's really hard for me to preach that because it sounds like I'm up here like, look at how humble I am. Like, this is not it. I started by telling you how prideful I am, you know. But there's principles that the Lord has. He's investing in you because He wants to produce something. You see? And sometimes we have this tendency to be the kid who's like, I know I'm destined to be a hero. And we're like, all right, I am going to like do everything I possibly can to be that hero. And we end up jumping off a cliff before we figured out how to fly, you know? And instead of like riding on the eagle's wings like baby eagle and mama's like swooping around and should say, Papa, you get it, you know? Like letting Him teach you, letting Him like say, all right, I'm gonna grow this thing and you're gonna fly and you're gonna fly on my back. Even though you're not ready, you're gonna be flapping your wings and, you know, it's just wind beneath you. But I got you, I'll catch you. Have you ever seen an eagle or a bird teach a baby bird how to fly? It's awesome. So fast forward a little bit. Now I'm at that church 4 years, I get engaged to my girlfriend, and I came back to the church that had sent us out to plant that church because that's where my girlfriend had been attending, and I prayed, and the Lord told me, that's where I want you to be. So I go up to the pastor, who's a new pastor than the one who sent us, and I said, hey, I'm going to be attending your church now. I'm just wondering how I can help you fulfill your vision. And he goes, well, what are your passions? What are your dreams? I said, well, I like youth, young adults. That's what I was doing at my old church. He goes, interesting. Would you be willing to interview? We just had a position open up. This guy doesn't even know me, right? And instead, I wind up on staff at this church. I still didn't even have credentials in our, like, it was like, what is this? And this is a big church, like membership of 1,000 or so. And I'm like, what? I wasn't trying, you know, and God just kept dropping it in my lap. No, it gets bigger. The reason I'm sharing this is all unfolding to me tonight during worship. I'm seeing a big picture that I hadn't caught before, all right? The favor of God following you throughout life. I wind up with degenerative disc disease. It actually started while I was at the church in Fowlerville. I'm not allowed to lift more than 30 pounds. I'm like, my back would go out 4 times a year at the most, like 2 to 4 times a year. I'd be crippled in bed on the floor, like a mattress on the floor, strict bed rest for 2 weeks at a time, crawling to the bathroom if I absolutely had to. And I was like, this is miserable, you know? come on.
Yes.
Some of us have been there. Yeah. Now, that was, I had that for 4 years, and I'm going to kind of give you, like, I'm going to jump back and forth in the story for a second. Had it for 4 years, April 2011, Jesus healed me.
Amen.
August 2009, I got started in healing ministry. So I'm laying hands on other people's backs, and they're getting healed. Their degenerative disc disease is getting healed, and I'm still popping Vicodin and ibuprofen to get through the day. And some of you have been there. Some of you are there, and it's okay. Because what's interesting, in that place of tension, of trying to figure it out, I was like learning to base my theology off of Jesus and what is true and not based off my experience and my disappointment. I learned to base my theology off of Jesus and what was true and not off of my experience and disappointment. So I would approach every sickness, every disease like this. Jesus wants it. It's his will. He wants this gone. You know, it's done. And then I'd hobble away after they're rejoicing, you know. But I was convinced Jesus wanted to heal me. I had no question about it. I'm like, 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord wills that none should perish and all would come to repentance. And I know there's people who perish and don't come to repentance. And I'm like, so God's will is not always done. And people would ask me, you say God wants to heal me, but why aren't I healed yet? And I'm like, that's not proof. The fact that it hasn't happened yet isn't proof. The fact that some people aren't healed isn't proof that he doesn't want to heal. The fact that some people perish without repenting is not proof that he doesn't want none to perish. See? He paid for all. 1 John 2:2? He's the atoning sacrifice for our sins, but not only for our sins, also for the sins of the whole world. Doesn't mean everybody's saved. It means everyone's paid for. You don't walk into Walmart and say, hey, ring me up for everything on that shelf. No, leave the card alone. I'm just paying for it. I'll be, you know. You don't pay for something you don't actually want. Okay? He paid for all. He paid for all. So, here I am wrestling with degenerative disc disease. Now, let me tell you what happened to me. November 2010, my pastor and I were talking. Actually, a few months before that, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, I want you to travel. And I'm like, Jesus, I've only been on staff here for like 2.5 years. Like, this isn't... Like, I committed to 5 years here. Like, this isn't right. I don't want to be that youth pastor who swoops in and, you know, swoops out. Like, I want to stay committed. I love these kids. I love my job. I love my church. Like, this is awesome. But if that's definitely you, if that is you, Lord, then I ask you to make it easy. Like speak to my pastor about it. Help this to be a good transition. My pastor meets with me in November. He says, can I take you to lunch? Sure. Takes me to lunch. He goes, do you feel like God's calling you to something else? Why do you ask? He goes, this sounds really horrible, and I don't mean it to be that way. And it may not be God, but I feel like as I pray about the future of our church, I don't see you on staff. But I go, well, let me tell you what the Lord's been speaking to me. And so we prayed together, and we set a time like 6 months later, and actually that 6 months was one of the hardest of my life because I couldn't like tell the youth yet, and so I know that I'm leaving and they don't, and I'm trying to build relationships with... Oh, it's hard. Yep. Ministry's rough, man. It'd be a lot easier if not for people. So 6 months later, our plan is April 11th is going to be my last Sunday on staff at my church. Here we are in November. I'm like, Jesus, is this right? My wife's pregnant with our first baby. He's due in March. And April 11th, I lose my paycheck. Yep. And so what do? Jesus, is this really you? Please help me know that this is you. I get an email the next day from a pastor in Horsham, Pennsylvania, another little like podunk town, right? And he says, I noticed I was reading your blog and I was wondering if you do seminars or conferences or anything like that, and if you could like come to our church. Our first opening is in April. I said, as a matter of fact, my first opening is in April. So I'm like, all right, I got my first gig. I didn't even have to ask for it, right? It's coming up on April now. The Holy Spirit's speaking to my wife and me. It's like March. And the Lord said to me, I want you to empty your bank account and give it all away. And I want you to never solicit a pastor for a speaking engagement. Now what do you do? And my baby was born premature on January 29th. Five and a half weeks premature, January 29th. And we're now in March. We got this preemie baby, and the Lord told me to just give all this away and not solicit for speaking engagements. Yeah, come on. Jesus, what do I do? I feel like the Lord wants me to tell you this because there's some of you in this place, okay? And I want you to know, like, embrace it. It's okay. It's okay. Because here comes April 9th. Now, how many of you have seen Darren Wilson's films, Finger of God, Furious Love, Father of Lights, all that, Holy Ghost? Okay. So this is back before he released Father of Lights. He was doing a Furious Love event. And he brought all these people from all these movies to Monroe, Michigan, which is like 40 minutes from me. And I'm like, oh, I would love to go to this thing. But he's flying people from all over the world to a small venue. So it's expensive. And I look at the price, and it's like $500 a couple for my wife and me to go. And I'm like, I got nothing because I just gave it all away. I would love to go to this thing. Guess who won free tickets? Yeah. He did a contest. I won the free tickets. Yeah. So my wife and I go to this thing. Will Hart's speaking. If you don't know who he is, you know Randy Clark. That's former intern, you know. So Will's there. He's speaking. He didn't even do an altar call, but people just start going to the front. Like, I want some, you know. And then he starts having words of knowledge about healing. Now, I had cut short 2 weeks of bed rest because my back had gone out so that I could come to this event. So I am, like, holding myself up in my chair through every session in pain. And I'm, like, walking around like this, you know? And Will Hart's having words of knowledge about healing, and I'm like, please say degenerative disc disease. Please, for the love of Jesus, please say it. He never said it. And then he goes, you know, I don't have to call out your condition for you to be healed. Just put your hand where the problem is, and we're going to sing I Love You, Lord, one more time, and then we'll see what happens. I'm like, all right. I love you, Lord. And I was a worship leader, so I want to harmonize and sound good so the person in front of me knows I'm a good singer. And as I'm singing this wonderful harmony, the Holy Spirit says, I want you to sing off key. Come again, right? He said, I'm tired of hearing your voice. I want to hear your heart. Yeah. I love you, Lord. And now I'm singing quiet so the person in front of me doesn't hear me. Right? We get through the song. Will says, test it out. I bend over, touch my toes. I'm like slouching on, I'm sitting on the floor slouching, trying to throw my back out. I run over to a pew and try to pick it up. I can't pick that thing up, but my back didn't go out. I'm like, this is ridiculous. Like, it was crazy. And so my wife has my, you know, 3-month-old baby, and she's back in the cry room watching through the glass, and I'm at the front of the church. She doesn't even know what's going on yet. But Will goes, it's like, we've all heard the headache testimonies. Not that I don't care about headaches, but we've heard that one. If you've been suffering with something chronically for years, I want you to come up on this stage and share your testimony. I was like, well, that's kind of me, you know? So I go up there on stage. I'm the third person in line. First two people, everybody claps. They go sit down. I share my testimony. Everybody claps. I go to sit down, and Will goes, wait. Now, let me pause this story for a second. The night before at this conference, it's during worship, we had seen another couple from that church we planted in Fowlerville that I hadn't seen in a few years, but they came to the same conference. And so I'm sitting by them. Robin's in the cry room with baby Joey. And as we're worshiping, the Lord speaks to me and says, I'm bringing you into a season of favor. Use it wisely.
Whoa.
Now, first of all, I started arguing. I go, season of favor? You have favor on all your kids. What do you mean season of favor? That can't be God, you know? Like, I'm rationalizing, like, this can't have been in God, right? But I was like, just in case that is you, Lord, I don't trust my wisdom. Like, if this is truly from you, a season of favor, I don't trust my wisdom to use it wisely. And his response was, listen to my voice. Amen. That's it. As he says that, the wife of this couple shuffles past me and goes and finds my wife. Now, we're driving home that night, and she goes, look what Annie gave me. And she opens up this box. It's a pair of pearl earrings. She said, Annie came back there, gave these to me, and said, these represent listening to God's voice for pearls of wisdom. Uh-huh. And as we're riding in the car, I'm freaking out. I'm like, this is what God told me, right? And then, like, sobriety set in, and I'm like, I feel like God's actually saying that he's going to be speaking wisdom to you through this, and I want you to know I invite that. I welcome that, that while we're in this ministry, he'll speak wisdom to you, and that's going to be like the voice of God to me, right?
Good.
So, fast forward to the next day. I'm up on stage with Will. He says, wait. He said, now remember, this is April 9th, my last Sunday on staff at my church, April 11th. He said, the Lord says he's called you into ministry. And I'm not talking about being a pastor on staff at a church somewhere. I'm talking about traveling the world. He doesn't know me. He doesn't have a clue who I am. He said, I see you getting off a little plane in the bush of Africa. I see you preaching in churches all over the place. And he just rattles it off. One thing after the next, he's talking about miracles. He's talking about things that my wife and I had talked about. And then he finishes this whole prophetic word. He goes, oh, and one more thing. The Lord says he's going to speak wisdom to your wife during this time, so listen to her. I collapse to the ground sobbing, right? My wife comes running from the back of the church with my baby, and he got the ride of his life. And we're crying our eyes out. Like, this is incredible. Jesus just commissioned us into ministry, you know? Freaking out. That was April 2011.
Come on.
Guess what just happened this April? 4 years. I forgot to tell you this part. Will Hart said, in the next 4 years, the Lord's going to show you the full extent of your life and ministry. And when he said 4 years, I was like, season of favor, I get it. I see the connection. That's what this is about. He said he's going to reveal the full extent of what you're to do with your life and ministry. 4 years has now passed. Let me tell you about the last 4 years. Shortly after that event, I get an email from a guy in Africa, in Kenya. And he says, I want you to come and do a leadership conference. Now, these guys are scam artists. They said, so be warned, because when you got a ministry, these are going to come. They sit for 8 hours a day in an internet cafe looking up people who have ministries, and they send you emails inviting you to do leadership conferences. And once you have your non-refundable plane ticket that your friends and family paid for, unexpected expenses arise. And they're asking you to send thousands of dollars overseas to make sure this event can happen. And then sometimes they're not even there. Sometimes they put it on, but they pocket most of the money, and sometimes they're not even there. So, I know this. I've heard about this. And I get this email, and I know this guy's a scam artist. And as I'm about to hit delete, the Holy Spirit said, trust him. I've been on such a ride with the Holy Spirit so far, I'm like, why not? Not really. I'm like, uh-oh, God, is that really you? Because I know this is a scam artist. The Holy Spirit says, trust him. I'm like, God, I need more than just an inkling in my heart. I need, like, confirmation on this. 9 months earlier, a pastor in Uganda had written me and said, I've been reading things on your blog. I was wondering if I could use your teachings to train pastors in my Bible schools. I'm like, sure, why not? And all I would ever hear from this guy is like, thank you for the message, sir. Like once in a while, he'd send me something like that when an email list went out. Here I am now. I get this email. I'm like, God, I need confirmation. The next day, Pastor Paul from Uganda emails me a photograph of his first year graduating class.
Wow.
And it's all these pastors in rented caps and gowns crying their eyes out to Jesus. And I'm like, now that's cool. Google Earth. Eldoret, Kenya to Bugiri, Uganda. And they're 3 hours apart. And I'm like, all right. I'm going to go just to hang out with Pastor Paul. Like, I don't care about this guy in Kenya. You know he's a scam artist, but the Holy Spirit said trust him. Okay, I'm going to trust him. I ended up trusting this guy. And to make a long story short, because I trusted him, the Lord hooked me up with a missionary whose right-hand guy, who's a local Kenyan, dropped everything to come and be my guide for $5 a day for half a month while I lived in Uganda. And it wouldn't have happened if I hadn't been flying through Kenya. You see? Not to mention, I really wouldn't have even gone to Uganda if it hadn't been for this crazy convergence of weird circumstances. So I go to Uganda, live with him for half a month out in the bush, and crazy stuff happened. Like, there's a video on YouTube of this sound like wind and rain that came while I was ministering to these, I think they were blind people, and or like partially blind and stuff. I was like, if you're blind or partially blind, come up here. If you're deaf or partially deaf, come up here, you know. I had seen like, I don't know, 20 such miracles already in this half a month, and so here I am now, I'm like, it's always going to work, right? Lay hands on the first person, this sound like wind and rain comes. Bizarre. I didn't hear it. Pastor Paul, my translator, didn't hear it. Wycliffe, the guide who was holding the camera, he didn't hear it. But people in the church heard it, and you see them like stand up and look out the window and look confused and sit down. It's weird. Jesus was reminding me who's doing the healing, right? You know? A little bit of humble, you know? But get this. I saw hundreds of miracles happen. I saw, like, the Lord took me on a shift from me being the minister to me training 300 Kenyan school kids who had been saved for 5 minutes to minister healing, and everybody in the room was healed. My ministry was completely transformed. Now I travel the world. I have seen 3,000 miracles, roughly, somewhere in there, in front of my eyes. And I don't exaggerate on that stuff. Roughly 3,000 miracles. The vast majority of them didn't happen through my hands. I travel to churches, train in a congregation how to do it. I lay hands on one or two to show them how to do it, and then they lay hands on each other, and everybody's like, we've been in almost, like, roughly 20 meetings in the last 4 years where every single testable condition was healed. And we're talking weird stuff like tendons and paralysis that are like a tendon was severed in the hand and now he can move his fingers. Or, you know, an old guy on an oxygen tank takes it out, puts his oxygen meter on, and it goes up to normal. And he's like there for hours and it's still normal. It's like crazy stuff like this. And I'm blown away. Like just the other night we had this lady healed of an aneurysm. We got a text while we're sitting here, confirmed by the doctor, the aneurysm's gone. They ran, was it 3 scans they had done before? And it was there in all 3. And she came 2 days ago. We lay hands on her. She's, aneurysm's gone. This is craziness. Like, it freaks me out sometimes. And I'm like, this is so cool, Jesus. These are things I long for all my life. But here's what happened to me while I was standing here worshiping Jesus with you. I've been trying to process why, since the 4 years was up in the beginning of April, nothing has changed. Favor's still following me. It didn't go away. And the Lord spoke to me. This is tonight. This is fresh for me. I'm freaking out myself, okay? He's like, I didn't take you through a season of favor so that it would stop. He said, what I promised was in 4 years, you would know the full extent of your life and ministry and what you're to do for the rest of your life. What you're to do for the rest of your life is walk in favor. And to impart that favor to others. Help them learn how to walk in it. Because that's what the other thing I've been doing for 4 years of my life is training other people how to walk in the stuff I know how to walk in. So I'm believing that this crazy favor, like in 4 years, I wind up in Africa, all this crazy stuff happens. I'm now building an orphanage there. We've been training pastors. Pastor Paul, the guy I met, he was ready to quit the ministry until I came on that first trip. We planted a church in an all-Muslim village overrun with witch doctors. Got up and preached about Jesus. I challenged the witch doctors and the imams to bring up their biggest demon and their Muslim god. Proved to me they had power. And I told him Jesus Christ is king. He's got all power. And then I waited. Nobody came. I was disappointed. I wanted to see something weird happen. 40 people in the field get healed. 50 people come to salvation, and we planted a church. Since that time, Pastor Paul has now trained almost 1,000 pastors from multiple denominations. He's planted 10 churches out of his own church. And I'm like, this is craziness. That's all going on. In the meantime, I'm writing books. Like, Bill Johnson endorsed my first book when I was absolutely nobody. I hadn't even started traveling yet.
Come on.
I'm like, what? This is ridiculous. We made a movie. Like, Darren Wilson, I'm at the thing, and they're like, you know, I'm catching something, but I'm not getting it. Right? I'm at that conference I told you about where my back's healed. That's where I'm called into ministry. It never occurred to me that I caught a bug. But here I am like a few years later, just a couple years ago, and a friend of mine who's like, I was young adult leader at our church, and he was a young adult, and he kind of like, we just became friends. And he was a film music score major at a local university, and he goes, for my senior project, I have to make something with film music scoring. I asked if we could make our own movie and I score it, and she said, the teacher said yes. So he goes, I want to make a movie about physical healing that my class has to watch in order for me to get a grade. And I'm like, dude, I am all over that, right? But we had nothing. I had no money. I had no, like, again, I had just started traveling ministry. I got nothing. This was actually, yeah, this was in 2011 when this all came up. I got nothing. I have no equipment. I have no experience. So what do? Well, I start coming up with my thinking, my brain ideas. I said, well, I guess what we could do is Skype interviews with a few people from like all around the world and like get some insights and things. And, you know, I've got a couple videos of healing from Uganda and we can throw it all together and make something. I wasn't thinking movie at the time. I was thinking like little short film for his class. Then all of a sudden I get an interview with Daniel Kalenda. And then I've got an interview with Chris Gore and Paul Manwaring. And, all, you know, it's like this stuff opened up and I'm like, this is a movie. This is weird, you know? We're capturing miracles on film, and I'm like, this is crazy. We end up making the thing for his class. His class, like, it finishes, and they're all just sitting there in silence, like no one knew what to do. They were terrified. We put this thing out. Like, nobody knows who we are. We just put it out, put a couple Facebook ads up. Like, some people liked our Facebook page. Long story short, like, today, my... interview on the Sid Roth show aired for his radio interview, and the TV interview is going to be in like a month. And I was on Daniel Kalenda's show. Like his producer just contacted me and was like, "We want to fly you down here just so we can talk about your movie." And I'm like, "What? I'm not asking for anything. Well, how did we get all these interviews? How did we have the equipment?" I'm sitting there praying, and the Holy Spirit goes, "Do you want to make this movie?" And I go, "Yeah, I do." Shortly thereafter, I get an email from a mega church in our area. Nobody knows who I am, but I had handed a copy of my book to the former pastor there, and he put my name in, and they want me to come preach. And it was a Sunday night, and they took up a love offering, $5,000. Wow. Never seen that. And we bought a studio of equipment, you know, like a full mobile studio. It was awesome. And we started making movies. God will meet you where you're at. He will. He equips the called. All right. So I have landed. You know this. We're over time, but I want to land this thing. All right. The Lord wants favor to overflow on your life. It's not a season. It's a life. Okay. And the favor has already started. The tricky part is what we often do is we think the favor is not there, so we try to grab. When you think the favor's not there, you will try to grab. Mm-hmm. Misplaced desperation leads to deception. The Lord spoke that to me tonight. Misplaced desperation leads to deception. What I mean is, when you are desperate to achieve and to climb some ladder and to be important, that's misplaced desperation. You should be desperate for God and craving Him and, you know, want everything you can get of Him. But when you misplace it there for you, it's going to lead to deception. You're going to believe things about yourself that aren't true, and you're going to believe things about God that aren't true. The biggest thing you believe about God that's not true is, you're demonstrating it through your actions, is He won't take care of me. I have to take care of myself. My God. It's been 4 years. I have yet to solicit a pastor for a speaking engagement, and I've never missed a bill. Never once. In fact, we've gotten out of $30,000 in debt. Yeah. He will supply all your needs according to His riches and glory. Seek first the kingdom of God and all His righteousness, and all this other stuff's going to be taken care of. You know, in a healthy marriage, the husband looks after the wife's needs and the wife looks after the husband's needs. Delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart.
Come on.
You don't have to worry about your needs and your desires and all that stuff. Just be like, you know what? I have all these crazy dreams and all these wild desires and all these things. What I'm going to do is I'm going to commit myself to serving Jesus with reckless abandon. And I don't even care if no one ever sees me. And I'm going to completely trust Him with the fulfillment of those dreams. And you know what the Lord does? He fulfills His promise that the Lord exalts the humble. Yeah. He will raise you up in due time. And as you listen to His voice, He'll tell you what steps to take. And there are times when it feels like self-promotion, but because He told you to do it, it's different. You're not trying to do something. All you're trying to do is follow Him.
Amen.
All right, I feel like we landed that thing. Jesus, you are so good. And this gathering here, these folks, Lord, I haven't been pacing with them through all these classes. I don't know what they've been learning and what they've been walking through and all those things. All I know is the love you have for them that is crazy obvious, because it's not just on them, it's coming out of them, you know? Lord, you're so amazing. Lord, I feel like there are people in this place who have been unaware of the favor that you have on their life. And that right now, just as they've heard the testimony that carries the weight of you doing again what you promised, what you've already done, of you doing it again, they're recognizing that they don't have to strive. That you are the one who will set them up in the places of authority, in the places of influence. Not because we deserve it, not because we tried really hard, not because we had the perfect upbringing, but you choose the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. You are the one who conquered through death. So Lord, once again, we lay our lives down before you, and we say we trust you. We trust you. Jesus, when you went to the cross, you completely entrusted yourself into the Father's hands. And the Apostle Paul wrote, if the same Spirit who raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, he'll quicken your mortal body. Jesus, the same way you entrusted yourself to the Father and he came through, pouring out his Spirit into that body, raising you back up to new life. Lord, we trust in the resurrection power. Oh, that we would know you and the power of your resurrection. Come on. Jesus. Lord, right now, I ask for just an impartation of favor that you've put on my life that I've been experiencing all these years. I ask it to overflow and be added to the favor on their lives. That every person in this place would experience supernatural favor in an instant. Yes. That things that they've been waiting for breakthrough on would happen now. Yes. In Jesus' name. Yes. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I feel like there's a lot of people in here with knee problems. How many people have knee problems? 1, 2, 3. Put your hand up high. 4, 5. Did I count you twice? I might have. Okay. If you got knee problems, just let's do this. Put your hand up again, and everybody look around at those whose hands are up. Oh, yeah, there's someone way over there, so make sure someone gets over there. And just put a hand on their shoulder. I mean, you guys know how to do this. I don't have to teach you. But what I've been noticing, and maybe this is a nugget that'll be helpful to you, you know what we tend to do in Christianity is it's like we try this hard to see someone healed and it doesn't happen, so we like try harder because we're Americans and we've got work ethic and we think that we have to try harder when it doesn't work. But faith is not trying harder, faith is trusting more, which is trying less. So if you try and it doesn't work, you try less and trust more. Okay? And so I'm now at a spot where I try to be as simple as possible. I don't jump up and down and shout and shake my hand and make them bald because I'm rubbing their forehead. You know, like I don't do any of that anymore. Just be healed in Jesus' name. Test it out. All right? So that's all I want you to do. Just go ahead and, you know, go for it. Yep. Now, every one of you, test it out. Try to move those knees around. Stand up on them if you have to. Try to do something you couldn't do. How many of you are healed yet? Yeah?
I have to tell you, when you said what you said, this morning I literally could not walk.
You couldn't walk this morning.
It took me 15 minutes to go 5 feet.
15 minutes to go 5 feet.
I couldn't go to the bathroom. I was screaming and my mom heard me.
Are you 100% right now? Come on.
Almost.
Almost? All right, we're going to hit it again. Anybody else healed yet? All right. Yeah, you guys know how to contend for this stuff, so just hit it again. But again, don't try harder. Try less. Just trust. Just trust him. Thank you, Jesus. You're so good. Every knee completely whole in Jesus' name. And I know there's lots of other stuff besides knees. I just felt like that's something the Lord wanted me to specifically address. But right now, I speak to every spirit of infirmity in this place. Get out, never return, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Every sickness, every disease, go. Yeah? Done? That's awesome. How long's your knee been hurting?
Overall wearing out process, but it's been worse over the past 2 months.
2 months. Come on! Jesus, you're awesome. Thank you, Lord. How about you? How long has that been going on with your knees?
I've had more than a decade.
More than a decade. Come on. Wow, God. How many of you are still left with knee problems right now? Okay, that's cool. You're okay. You guys are doing everything right. Like, Jesus raised the dead, and dead people are dead. They don't have faith. They don't even have to figure out how to receive. They're just dead. So you're doing everything right. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Is it one knee, two knees?
Fluid on the knee.
All right, cool. Fluid go then. Okay, move that around. How's that? All right, what I'm going to do is, you know, we could be here all night if it gets too glorious in here. So what I'll do, I just want to speak a blessing over you, and then anyone who's still got knee issues, just come see me. I want to minister to you before you go. And if you need healing for anything, you got people around you who know how to do it.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to pile on to me. I'm happy to pray for you, okay? Don't get me wrong. If you come up to me, I'll pray for you. But I just want to speak a blessing over you, hand the mic back to where it needs to be. Thank you for sticking around extra tonight. I really appreciate it. It's an honor to be here, and I'm so glad that I came for the Lord to just kind of break loose some things for me.
Amen.
So thank you. So right now, in Jesus' name, I speak a blessing over your lives that you're going to see incredible things this summer, things that blow your mind. Like, you have been in a program that has taught you how to dream, and you're going to find out that your dreams haven't been big enough. I'm going to stop there. All right.